This podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Stop procrastinating and get your energy back. Save $10 plus get free shipping at balance7.com when you put in code Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Traveled over 140 countries around the world. As I'll paraphrase the phrase in my own neighborhood. The rest of the countries, the world's not a patch on our jeans. If we do what we want to do, we need to do.
What does that even mean?
The Supreme Court's order gives Republicans in Congress plenty of time, we believe, to move past political finger pointing.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So really the pivotal question is, how badly does Kevin McCarthy want this job?
I need this job bad.
The problem is that you have a math problem, you just can't get there. So what do you do on the 10th vote, the 30th vote, the 50th vote, if it just doesn't move?
Look, I have the record for the longest speech ever on the floor. I don't have a problem getting a record for the most votes for speaker, too.
Even if it means me never taking a job again.
Are you going to stay in the race, Leader McCarthy?
Yes, I'm not going
anywhere. Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. So, Kevin McCarthy is meeting behind closed doors with the 20 dissidents. We'll talk more about that in a little while. But today, Charlie Baker took the last walk, the lone walk, as it's called. Although he was not alone, he was with his wife and his lieutenant governor and her husband when he took the lone walk. And the new legislature was sworn in today. And but two members were not sworn in because the elections are in dispute. These are state reps, and these were Republican seats that were lost to or allegedly lost to Democrats. Lenny Mira up on the North Shore lost by one vote. He's trying to appeal it. It's been thrown out of one court, but he's still going after it. And the other race that was lost was a seat held by Sheila Harrington, who got a hack job as a clerk magistrate. And she was going to be succeeded by a Republican, Andrew Shepard. However, he ran into some problems from the Jim Jones Lions wing of the party, and they didn't help him out. They actually stabbed him in the back, as we'll get into. And he's behind by seven votes, but he's taking it to court. And we wanted to check in with him to see how the recount's over, I guess, or it's in abeyance. It's going to court now, but we'll find out. Andrew Shepard, and this is the district that includes Groton, Pepperell, Dunstable, at various other places up in that part of northern Middlesex County. Andrew Shepard, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Howie, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Where does your case stand right now, Andrew?
So right now, we're waiting on a judge to look at our case, but as of late yesterday, the House decided not to seat my opponent, and I think that just shows how serious this is, and that if they did, the Democratic monopoly would be denying the right of voters, through this process, and that's a big deal.
So they refused to swear her in, and they also refused to swear in the person who supposedly defeated Lenny Mira by one vote. So what is the next step in this process? Are you trying to have a total recount in the district, or how does it work? And tell us about the 50 sample ballots and what happened with those in Dunstable.
So there were a number of issues that came out during the recount process, and I just I want to state from the beginning, we didn't go in make this decision lightly. We had the general. We waited for all the mail-ins to come in. We were up on election night. Once the results were certified, we ended up being down 17. I talked to a lot of people, and they said, "Look, Andrew, you go into a recount, not much is probably going to change." But we thought it was worth the risk. We did the recount, and then the swings in the recount were just crazy. We had one day when it was a dead tie, and it ended up being a certified difference of seven, but. Some of the irregularities that came about was, you know, in the town of Dunstable. You know, currently it's a theory, but they might have accidentally counted about 50 test ballots, and that's an error that just should have never happened.
And 50
and that's
test ballots.
The process. Yeah, the ballots they used to test the machines.
Ed, how many votes did you pick up on the recount in Dunstable?
In Dunstable, I picked up about 10.
10 votes.
So, yeah.
But that doesn't seem like a lot, but when the margin is down to 7 votes, you got to wonder what happened in the other towns.
Well, you know, we had one town accidentally, you know, they had sub-precincts, and they were split in different districts, and we had one town accidentally send the wrong ballots to the wrong people, so they just weren't.
That happened on the Cape too, and the Republicans lost a seat down there, where they listed the Democrat challenger as the incumbent in an open seat. Funny how these mistakes always seem to benefit Democrats.
Yeah, you know, this one, our race wasn't even listed, so the voter didn't even get a chance to vote for me or my opponent and potentially decide the election. But I think one of the biggest ones is, you know. We didn't rush to this decision, and we talked to a lot of the town clerks, and some of them told us, you know, we can't check every mail-in ballot that comes in with the voter signature card. And that was concerning to me, and I sat down, and I went through, you know, the inner security envelope where the voter signs it under penalty of perjury and the early vote by mail application card. And
right.
Some of them, I mean, it's not even natural variation. It's just they just don't match. And you look at that, and you look at how close this is, and you go, you know, this does not inspire confidence, and that's why I took it to court, and I'm hoping a judge can look at it and see something similar.
You know, it never should have been this close. That's been a Republican district for a long time, and they had a conservative Democrat before they had Republicans. But something happened to you in Pepperell with the members of the Jim Lyons cult. What happened in Pepperell, one of the big towns in your district?
There ended up being a write-in campaign for my primary opponent, and they netted about, you know, at least 60 votes in Pepperell and maybe more throughout the district. But, you know, right now being down 7, you know, if we just had some unity in the party and some willingness to, you know, to all rally together after the primary, I think it could have been, you know, we wouldn't even have to be here.
And the reason I wanted to mention this is because the write-in campaign appeared to be spurred by a couple of elderly people who are the parents of Rick Green, who is one of the top financial supporters of Jim Lyons. And he employs a number of Jim Lyons coat holders at his company. And so his parents wrote after you won the primary over a member of the cult, the Kool-Aid cult, his parents wrote a letter to the local newspaper saying that that they were going to write in people, and sometimes it was better to lose an election so that you could set up a win down the road. Am I summarizing the letter fairly accurately?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty accurate. It was disappointing to see, especially, you know, coming from your own party at the week right before the general election. So, you know, I just got to imagine that it had some level of impact, and it's disappointing to be where we are, you know, possibly because of it.
So two of the leading citizens in the town, or the parents of one of the leading citizens, one of the richest, probably the richest citizen in the town, wrote a letter urging people to write in someone other than the Republican candidate, even though this guy is allegedly a big shot in the state Republican Party.
Yeah, you know, it's just crazy. I think, and, you know, you talk about it, it's just part of the division right now that's going around and some of the dysfunction with the Mass GOP.
Well, now, I guess I'm told now that Jim Lyons is saying that he really helped you out, that he sent this guy named John Milligan, who apparently hasn't been paid since the election, he sent him to help you out. Have you seen John Milligan helping you out?
You know, I talked to John in the very beginning. I have not had a lot of support from the Mass GOP from the beginning. We always felt like, you know, the party itself is supposed to be neutral, you know, at least especially in the primary election, but you know, there was a number of times where I questioned the impartiality and, it just felt like we were always getting the leftovers of choices or decisions or things like that. And even going into the recount and then the court battle, I mean, I had to call the party to get any help, and you'd think they'd be at your door and try to help guide you, especially a first time candidate, help guide you through the process and trying to rally the troops.
Did they give you any money for this recount?
I got a fundraising list that I called myself, and that was it, really.
That was it?
Other than that.
Did the state committee send any poll watchers out for the recounts of the various towns?
I had a few state committee people from across the Commonwealth, I think of a variety of different sides of the faction in Mass GOP, but there wasn't any organized help from the party, no.
So do you think Jim Lyons deserves another term as chairman of the state party?
That'll be up to the state committee, but I think fresh leadership is a good thing.
The next cycle of candidates could use a little support from the state committee rather than Jim Lyons just using all the money to sue other members of the party?
Even a little. If that could have got 7 votes, that would have made all the difference.
Yeah. Or at least not stabbing you in the back.
That would have helped too. That would have helped too, for sure.
All right. Is there anything anyone could do to help you out, Andrew, at this point?
The biggest thing would probably be, if people want to check out my website, it's www.repshep.com, and there's a link and a button on there. If someone's interested and wants to support our cause, they can donate to our legal fund, and that would be a huge help.
Rep Shep, S-H-E-P?
Yep, R-E-P-S-H-E-P.
Repshep.com. And none of that money will be going to the Republican State Committee, as far as you're concerned, I'm sure.
That's true.
All right, Andrew, we wish you the best, and we also wish Lenny Mira the best. We hope something can be done. I mean, these were seats that never should have been lost. If anybody in the party had been concerned with anything other than, their petty little grudges and running ads about transgenderism and that kind of stuff, if only they had, been concerned with bread and butter issues rather than nutsy stuff. They need a new guy to replace this crackpot, Jim Jones Lyons. All right. Thank you, Andrew Shepard. And again, it's repshep.com if you want to check out his website. 844-500-4242. Why do real estate owners voluntarily choose to auction their own homes, commercial property, and land? Well, the simple answer is this: certainty. In a J.J. Manning real estate auction, the seller benefits from certainty of a sale date, certainty of no contingencies, certainty of a closing within 30 days, certainty of competition fighting for your property. In a J.J. Manning auction, you were in the hands of a 46-year seasoned firm with over 16,000 auctions under their belt. Your property is their most important project. There is no distress. You set the terms. You sell contingency-free, and the buyer pays the commission. In an uncertain real estate market, choose certainty. Choose J.J. Manning. Remove the doubt. From Needham to Nashua, Westford to Westwood, and Yarmouth to Merrimack, my listeners have chosen certainty and sold with J.J. Manning. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Don't wait for prices to head even lower. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your real estate sold. From Needham to Nashua, Westford to Westwood, and Yarmouth to Merrimack, Howie listeners have chosen certainty and sold with J.J. Manning. I'm Howie Carr.
No one but Howie has the final word on mugshot models.
Guilty, 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 not guilty.
Police Blotter Facts Friday, every Friday at 5:30. On the Howie Carr Show.
Forget the myths that the media has created about the White House.
truth is, these are not very bright guys.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows, I wear their slippers, I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets. Go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
The poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is Governor Charlie Baker takes the lone walk out of the State House today. I believe he already took it. What grade do you give him for his 8 years in office? A, B, C, D, or F?
F.
49% say F, 21% say D, 15% say A.
50. He's out of office, or he's pretty much, I don't guess he's officially out of office, but he's gone. And he's still got his people out there voting for him. He's moved up from 0% in the first hour to 15%. It's not too late to get in and vote. Give him an F. Anyway, 844-500-4242. You could also go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store, and you can get our cheap bastard deal. It's a great cheap bastard deal. ReadyWise, 84, serving breakfast and entree grab-and-go buckets. These are 84 meals. For it's a $210 value for just $105. It includes the bucket, 9 days food at 1,800 calories per day, about 84 cups of water required. It could be tap water, room temperature water, better water if it's hot. And it has a 25-year shelf life. It's a great deal, and it's half price, about a little over a buck per meal. And it'll just be ready in case of an emergency for you. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. So Charlie Parker took the walk. I mean, it's such a big story that neither paper has posted anything on the website, even though it happened about an hour ago.
Did this just happen?
Just happened a while ago, but nobody seems to have any concern. The bigger stories are the speaker and the Red Sox just signed one of their players. That's a big story because they never re-signed any of their players. And but there's a story. The lone walk, that's what it's called, the lone walk, even though it wasn't lone, began when Benjamin Franklin Butler left the governor's office in 1884 while deeply unpopular. He made his way out of the building bereft of friends and fanfare. He was a Democrat, by the way, in a Republican era. And he was a Civil War general down in New Orleans. He had a nickname down in New Orleans. Taylor, do you know what his nickname was in New Orleans?
I don't know what his name in New Orleans was.
Spoons. You know why? Because he stole all the spoons in New Orleans when he was the commanding general of the occupying Union Army, or at least supposedly. Butler, walked out by himself because by the time he was done, no one wanted to be seen with him. This is from a historian. Butler was an extraordinary guy, but he made a lot of enemies, which you often do as governor. You think he made a lot of enemies in the State House? How about in New Orleans? Nobody had any spoons. They'd eat pudding with forks for a generation until they could replace all those spoons that he stole. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I think we'll let you talk about your memories of Charlie Parker. You know, my memories all have to do with COVID and the Turkey police in particular. But everyone has their own COVID memories. You know, whether it was not being able to go to church, not cancellation of all the big high school football games.
I'm a basketball player, and I agree.
Remember tearing down all the hoops on all the and all the courts, the basketball courts?
As somebody who played the game of basketball for many, many years.
Remember people would call up 911 if they saw little kids playing in parks? That happened.
My hair's on fire about the whole thing. I can't even begin to tell you how pissed off I am.
I can't get a good cup of coffee on a walk downtown anymore. I can't begin to tell you how PO'd I am about that. Charlie Parker killed it. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. I wonder if Matt Gaetz is going to be at Mar-a-Lago anytime soon. Boy, he tweeted back after Trump came in today with a couple of tweets or Truth Socials about how he supports McCarthy. And Gaetz, again, who's a regular at Mar-a-Lago, tweeted back, supporting McCarthy is the worst human resources decision President Trump has ever made. Sad! Exclamation point. Sad? Wow. 844-500-4242. And they are so, the McCarthy people are so angry. They're, I mean, it's, talk about, you know, burning bridges. One of the sources for McCarthy said about Trump, he swung hard for Kevin and made it clear he wasn't abandoning him. But like most terrorists, Gaetz and his crowd only respond to force. That's a way to reach out across the aisle, calling people terrorists in your own party. What is this, Jim Jones Lions? Trump attacking them directly by name would change their calculus. Yeah, that would really work. Like they don't know who the 20 people are. Anyway, 844-500-4242. This is the end of the line for Charlie Parker. He's going to make the big bucks in the presidency of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, NCAA. I don't know if he's going to move to Indianapolis or not. Probably just commute. But he's got the job. The guy who has it now or had it was making close to $3 million a year, so I would have think Charlie Parker would be making the same. So he's doing well, and I don't know where he is tonight. I don't know if there's a kegger. It's kind of a bad night for a kegger at the Lieutenant Governor's lakefront estate in Shrewsbury, but who knows? Anyway, what's your moment that you think most defined Charlie Parker? There were so many, and most of them were pretty miserable. I voted for the guy in 2010 when he was running against Duvall. I voted for him in 2014 when he was running against Marsha Coakley, obviously. And I did blank it. I think it was the first time I ever blanked the top of the ticket race in 2018. I just couldn't stand the guy by 2018. And I actually voted for Scott Lively, the crazy guy, the minister that was running against him in the primary. So, you know, I couldn't take him. And you know, when COVID happened, I mean, he had a disastrous response to COVID. Every macro decision he made, whether it was shutting down everything, the lockdowns, the masks, he got every decision wrong, every single one. But when he could make a decision that might have affected things in a positive way, such as appointing someone to the Holyoke Soldiers Home who wasn't a hack, who hadn't given him money, who hadn't given Polito money, he didn't make the right decision, and now there are 80 people dead. 80 people died. And they're still fighting over whether they're going to indict some of the criminally indict some of the people who were involved in that fiasco. They settled.
We even checked out, you know, what size turkeys people were buying, and it turned out that the big ones were still around on Thanksgiving Day.
That's his idea of a great decision. That's state government at work. He used a Cold War law to claim executive power, to issue executive orders curtailing the freedom of people across the state, fired correctional officers, fired members of the state police for not taking the vaccine. He shut down the universities while continuing to pay the bloated hack bureaucrats. He shut down the courthouses while the judges went on vacation. He allowed the schools to stay open even though the kids were in no danger, so that the teachers could enjoy basically, a lot of them, 2 years of vacation. What amounted to 2 years of vacation. He did a terrible, terrible job in just about every way. I mean, I said today in my column, the Baker era rot is permeated into every level of state government. And I should mention the MBTA. The MBTA is a total disaster. No one knows what to do with it. 844-500-4242. What do you remember most about Charlie Parker? Dave, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie. I agree with you on like 99.9% of the points. My crazy girlfriend and I, Stacy, we agree with it. What happened to all the people that when they shut down the tolls on the Mass Pike, not one person was laid off? Is that how he ran the HMO he was running? But the one thing he did correctly was...
That's a good point. Not, thanks for bringing that up. I'd forgotten about the turnpike. Go ahead.
Having the illegal aliens get driver's license, although it was overturned, I give him that one, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So
yeah.
I got to give him credit on that one thing. Those idiots at the RMV... It's unbelievable. They can't even take care of the people. It looked like the southern border when I went in there the other day to register a boat trailer.
I can imagine that. Yeah, I mean that's the way. What about the fact that the motorcycle massacre up in New Hampshire? You know, this legal alien from Ukraine actually. He was a career criminal, basically. He had a string of crimes he'd committed. He was a drug addict, an alcoholic, and he committed all these crimes, these moving violations, in all these states from here to Texas and Iowa. And the Registry of Motor Vehicles said, you know, they'd gotten a notice from Connecticut saying his license should be pulled, where he'd pulled his latest crime. They never bothered to send it out. And so he's driving around, apparently, allegedly stoned, and he killed 7 motorcyclists, even though he beat the rap on a lot of the stuff. I mean, and they didn't do anything. And Baker had put all these hacks from the Quincy Braintree area into the registry because it's in Quincy, so it was a quick commute for them. And they were just idiots. They didn't do anything. And again, I've mentioned this before, but they issued the report on who was responsible for the RMV disaster where they didn't pull this license and the guy ended up killing 7 people. And they put it out on Thanksgiving Eve so nobody would read it. I had to read it. Not because I'm a dedicated journalist, but because they're not going to put one over on me, okay? I took it personally. And the guy, he was a hack from Braintree. And he was the guy who was responsible for getting out these notices. He was not putting out the notices because he was concerned with a flatulence problem around in his office, and he was trying to track down who the phantom farter was in the office. That's what he was doing. It was in the report that they issued on Thanksgiving Eve. These are the people he did. 844-500-4242. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Howie?
Yes.
My favorite moment was back in the early summer of 2021, Major League Baseball held a Lou Gehrig Day to bring awareness to ALS and raise money.
Right.
Before the game, they brought out like 5 or 6 people with ALS on the field with their family. Then some girl whose father died of ALS came out with Charlie Parker. So on the infield, there's like 25 to 30 people. Can you guess who's the only person wearing a mask?
Oh, my God. It's so classic. That's a classic Charlie Parker moment. Did he say anything about Paul Cellucci, guy he used to work for, who died of ALS? I mean, I assume
yeah.
he's... Yeah.
So I saw that. I started laughing. I couldn't believe it. I was like...
That's yeah, you know, I was thinking, before I just said, this guy's, it's so over, I was thinking that, you know, maybe people should have gone down there today on the steps, but it was a rotten day, another rotten day, and just thrown masks at him as he was walking down out of the office. But what's the point? You know, he's done. He's worthless. Thanks for the call, Mike. That's a great Charlie Parker moment. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Gee, the Jubinvilles from Milton, they think Charlie Parker's a pretty good guy.
You want to tell us about the Jubinvilles, or shall I do it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. As 77 years of age, taking a magistrate's job, I wonder if the highest 3 years is going to up the pension. I wonder if that's why he took the job, or is he a dedicated state employee?
Paul, we've been over this before. I think you know, when you get a clerk magistrate's job, you don't have to retire, and you don't have to show up for work either. So no, clerk magistrates don't retire. Paul. I think you know that. They die in the saddle, or they die in Florida claiming to be in the saddle while getting a full paycheck. Robert Jubenville, the governor's counselor from Milton, he's my governor's counselor. I get along with the guy. I always did. He took the job as clerk magistrate in Framingham. And one of the prior clerk magistrates lasted till he was in his 90s, who was a state rep. But Jubenville just got it last week. He was officially approved by his colleagues on the governor's council. He's 76 years old, and he's going to make $174,000 a year for life. And as Paul well knows, do you want to tell about his daughter's nationwide search, Paul?
She just got appointed a district court judge about 6 weeks ago.
A little earlier than that, but it was in August. Close enough. She got
her trial experience at all.
So the daughter is making $207,000 a year as a judge, and she had to be approved by the governor's council, which her father served on. Once she got the judgeship for $207,000, he took the clerk magistrate's job for $174,000 a year. Paul, you know, he was holding out. He wanted the job in Stoughton because it was a quicker commute from Milton, as if that commute's going to be a big problem for him, right?
But the woman from Stoughton went to South Boston.
Yes, the woman from Stoughton went to South Boston to succeed the sister of Mike Flaherty, who's the city councilor from Boston, and who was also the daughter of Mike Flaherty, who was another judge, and she got promoted from clerk magistrate to judge, and she had succeeded a guy named John Flaherty, no relation, who died at the age of 94. He was a clerk magistrate since 1946. 1946 to 2004. He was appointed by Morris Tobin. That's how long he kept the clerk magistrate's job. Hack-a-rama at its best. A lot of nationwide searches. Thanks, Paul. 844-500-4242. And I believe the new clerk magistrate in South Boston is a former chairman of the Republican State Committee. But you know what? At least she actually won some elections when she was the chairman of the party, unlike the current occupant of the party. 844-500-4242. Brian, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm calling on Baker.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you don't like the guy and stuff, but he seems pretty popular.
I mean, compared to what, though? I mean, what did he do? What did he do, actually? I said in my column today, other than getting his son, helping his son beat the rap on the groping charges on the JetBlue airliner, what has he actually accomplished?
He accomplished enough to get reelected and stuff like that, and he's probably more popular than former President Trump, so...
Yeah, but what has he done? What has he done?
Well, Howie, why do you have a problem with people who work for the state or the government? I did. Why didn't you get a job working for the state or government, Howie? Well, that's all you do is spend time beating up on hacks and stuff like that.
Do you think someone who's 76 years old should get a lifetime job for $175,000 a year?
You know, Howie, I tell you something. I got lucky through a congressman, Howie, and I have no, I, you know. Why didn't you get one of those jobs, Howie?
You know, people told me, when I worked at City Hall, people told me I should have gotten one of those jobs, and I still sometimes wonder, maybe I should have gotten one of those jobs. I could have gone out on a phony disability at the age of 40.
I know, Howie. Yeah, but you're phony, Howie. Why didn't you get one of those jobs? You're a phony Trump-lover.
I missed the nationwide search somehow, Brian. Thanks for the call. There's one of Baker's coat holders, I guess. 844-500-4242.
You're a loser.
You know I love MyPillow's products, and I'm excited that they've created the best, most luxurious, and absorbent towels ever. Don't throw in the towel. Get the Howie Carr special of six towels for just $39.98. They normally go for $89. The set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Wow. Just call 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie to get this special offer. Don't like them? Don't worry. You know that MyPillow is a 10-year warranty, and they just announced that they are extending their 60-day money-back guarantee through March 1st, 2023. Happy holidays to you. Get yours by calling 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials box to get deep discounts on other MyPillow products, too. Dry off with MyPillow's luxurious towels by going to MyPillow.com, and don't forget to use the code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
There's a lot at stake here.
Talking something you can't do judiciously unless you keep in practice.
Howie Carr. He's always polite to his callers.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Howie Carr is back.
And with respect to this, if you're not vaccinated, you can't play.
The texter saying, remember how we used to lift the restrictions on restaurants, but it was always on a Monday? Yeah, because he wanted to deprive the restaurant owners of having a good weekend crowd.
But I would also ask people to respect the science.
Political science. And you got 90 minutes to eat, says 50. 90 minutes to eat. Right. How about this one? You could have a drink at the bar with the plexiglass in front of it. Nothing says I'm relaxing like staring into some plexiglass that's stained with spittle and crap and everything else after a couple of days or a week. And you had to get a stack, though, before you got a cocktail. You had to get a stack. So, and they would decide what it was. So, like, a bowl of peanuts or potato chips, that did not suffice. That would not ward off COVID. However, if you bought an order of French fries, COVID would stay away. And don't forget, too.
Please tell me they were wearing face coverings.
Remember when COVID would just come out and go berserk during the week?
COVID's a little bit like, you know, Michael Myers.
You had to get home by 9:30. But on Friday and Saturday night, COVID would lay off until 10:30. Remember that? Yeah. Because it was all based on the science.
Don't Justin, be afraid of the vaccine. Be afraid of COVID.
How about being afraid of the economic depression that you caused? The first highest unemployment rate in the nation, the third highest death rate. How about that?
I mean, we get the fact this has been a tough period for restaurants.
Just shut up. I'm so happy you're gone. Even though Mara Healy's going to be worse. You know, it's still nice to see you gone. Nate, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Howie. Happy New Year. And for the record, that Brian guy is a complete useless piece of garbage. You should learn how to answer a question instead of answering one with a question.
I asked him for one accomplishment in 8 years.
I've got one for you, Howie.
Yes.
I remember in Western Mass when we didn't have to pay tolls on the Mass Pike because there was like a whole deal where they would pay for itself.
And right. I Weld. Weld did that when he was running
the
for the Senate.
Back to Western Mass.
Yeah. He brought them back everywhere.
Well,
and then they put instead of having to go through the tolls and pay and, you know that you were paying, they put up that tiny little sign, right? Remember that? It's about the size of a matchbook cover. And it says, here are the new tolls. And every couple of years, they double them again.
Again, drive carefully and don't go through big puddles if you can avoid it.
Shut up.